for John, whose kindness, gentleness, and terrible jokes will always be remembered. Chapter 1. My mother always says, bad fortune follows our family like a hungry dog, nosing at our pockets for scraps. If I do have any luck, it's certainly not the good kind, which is why 12 months after taking a bullet to the back, I'm getting off a bus in a town called Green Acre, where every last blade of grass is burned to the color of old bone, with $3 in my pocket, and an invitation to change my life crammed in my backpack. August heat licks up off the road, setting the desert scrub shimmering like it hasn't yet decided if it's real. The bus's AC blasted the whole ride, but I've barely stepped onto the dirt at the side of the road before I'm sweating under my hoodie. The door hisses shut just shy of my heel, and the bus rumbles away 2 seconds before good sense kicks in, and I realize I should probably get back on it and get the hell out of here. Not that here is much of a place at all. The bus stop consists of a picnic table at the edge of the road, the only sign of occupation a half-crushed soda can. Across the street, a dingy gas station bears a closed sign that looks like it hasn't been flipped in months. Up the road, a few other buildings straggle into existence, but there's no one else in sight. I pull out the creased letter from the outer pocket of my backpack. I've read it a few dozen times already, but still, I glance over it again. Congratulations, you've been selected, it tells me. I've been chosen to appear on the inaugural season of Who Survives, which promises to be the next reality TV obsession. 8 kids, chucked into an abandoned town to band together and survive 6 weeks, all of it overseen by billionaire tech magnate and survival enthusiast Damien Dare. The details of the game itself have been left intentionally hazy. Not hazy, the prize. Make it to the end, and you get $100,000. It's money I need. Money I'll do just about anything to get. The letter gives a time and an address and promises a van to take me the last 20 winding miles to Landry's Gap, the ghost town that Damien Dare bought out for this whole operation. The time is 15 minutes from now, and the address for the pickup is on Main Street. The nearest sign tells me I'm on Scrub Road. Wrong spot, then. But at least there's only one direction to go, other than running back home. I set out, chasing the dust plume of the bus. I make it less than 100 feet before I halt, startled by the sight of a skinny dog trotting out into the street ahead of me. No, not a dog. I take in the pointed muzzle, the bushy tail, the upright ears, the canny indifference in her eyes. Coyote. She stares at me. I stare back. You alone out here? I ask her, soft-voiced. A breeze stirs her fur. She's thin, but not starving. She's beautiful, and not one bit afraid. It feels like an omen. I can't say for sure what kind. A hideous peal of honking splits the air. The coyote lays her ears back and bolts, streaking across the road and into the scrub brush opposite. I whirl, startled, as a bright yellow jeep screeches up next to me. A head pops out, a white kid, tousled brown hair, thick-rimmed glasses.
Holy crap, are you okay?
He asks. My heart's racing. My hands a tense claw at my side, the other gripping my backpack strap like I'm trying to strangle it. I manage a jerk of my head that's almost a nod.
That thing was huge, and it looked hungry. Lucky we came along when we did, huh? Do you need a ride? Are you here for the show? I'm Harrison. Harrison Hayne. This is Milo.
He stabs a thumb toward the guy in the passenger seat, who leans in.